all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Common Sense. Normally, from the shores of Lake Wissota, where I'm sure it's still a beautiful day up north, but we are not there today. We are live from Civic Media's new complex of studios in Madison at the top of State Street here in the Wisconsin state capital of Madison. Nice to have you along today on this Wednesday, August 9th. It's 61 degrees up in Chippewa Falls right now, where folks are listening on 93.5 The Tap. Here in Madison, folks listening to Mad Radio, you've got 60 degrees right now. La Crosse, 64. Hayward, it is 55 degrees. Here's what's on tap this morning. Governor Evers delivers a message to Republicans to try again, try yet again. The governor has called the Republican-led legislature into special session. Consider it an invitation, if you will, to make up for the homework that they missed before beginning their summer vacation, like addressing affordable child care, the labor shortage, other important family issues. So we'll get into all of that. We'll also talk to Melissa Baldoff about the disconnect between public opinion and President Joe Biden's initiatives to address a changing climate. In our second hour, we'll have the story about how there's more pressure for fair maps. A second lawsuit has been filed that challenges the gerrymandered maps that have given legislative Republicans many more seats than their actual level of support among Wisconsin voters. And so we will talk to people behind last week's first lawsuit and ask if it's realistic to expect new electoral maps in 2024 that aren't, rigged. So we'll talk to folks from Law Forward about that. We'll talk to Melissa Kay during today's history lesson and music break. We'll allegedly talk to Todd Alba as well, who will be looking to pay me back, given that I invaded this very studio and his show during the day yesterday as well. So getting used to the new studio here, folks who might be watching on Facebook, YouTube, or elsewhere, understand that I have repeatedly teased Luke and Todd and others about, this is truly lighting made for radio, not TV. So I'm kind of frightening myself here, but, we're making do. There's big monitors on the wall here, so I can definitely see your phone calls and your emails, or your texts, rather. The studio line is 844-967-2789. And if you use the Civic Media app, you'll be able to text the show as well, and I'll see that up on another screen here. So many ways to stay in touch with us. And of course, if you're watching on one of our Facebook pages and you leave a comment, we'll see it there and may put that up on screen as well. And a reminder that Up North News, everything that we do as a separate entity from Civic Media can be found over at upnorthnewswi.com. Aaron Zommers is over in the other room where, for the first time when I'm in Madison, I can actually see him through the glass, not through, a computer camera or everything like this. And I'm looking at your fancy board. You got the little adjustable stand-up desk over there. This is a nice little setup.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, with the stand-up desk, it's particularly nice because I'm fairly tall. Luke is not. Yes. So I can put the desk up wherever I want it. And then he comes in to do the news, just presses a little button for a couple seconds, lowers the desk to a more usable height. So neither of us has to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Now, one thing I've noticed, clearly people are still excited about using the studio here. It's a stand-up studio, by and large, unlike here. Wait, you don't have a button down here, do you? Nope. Same old podium.
Yeah, that podium is temporary. Okay. But I don't know how temporary.
Because I was going to say, I thought about this driving in today after staying at a friend's house, and I thought, after I was up late, I was at the Brewers game, and I don't know, maybe I'm going to want to sit. And unlike the old studio, I don't see the old stools here anymore. So it tells me everybody's still excited that nobody's sitting down while they're doing a show here.
Yeah, if those big stools are here, I don't know where they are.
There are still many moving boxes and other things. It's still a work in progress. But again, compared to the broom closet where you were in, it was not a bad thing.
Much nicer. And yeah, being able to actually see the show hosts makes a big difference.
It certainly does. So, good. Well, it's nice to be here. I'll be here today and tomorrow because of other Up North News related things that I'm working on down on this side of the state before once again escaping up north, as so many people down here do on the weekends. You know, you work throughout the week just so you can get on the road and get up north, whether it's in the Minocqua area, Eagle River, Chippewa Falls, Chautauqua, you know, points north. When I worked at WAQE in Rice Lake, one of my, I don't know, not favorite activities, but I couldn't help but notice every Friday morning as I was either both heading into and out of work, it was near Highway 53, and just the immense traffic from people who, you know, even if they had to drive overnight or drive all day, they were going to get up north for, you know, their fair share of rest and relaxation and boating and fishing. And it just always made me feel good that we live in a place where people can do that. So whenever I come back down here to Madison and I get to meet all kinds of good folks, and I can see it in their eyes sometimes that they love what they do, but they can't wait to get away when the time is right. So we'll all be doing that in the next couple of days to get our bad selves up north. Let's take a break. And when we do, I'll tell you more about the Brewers game. I had to look it up, actually, because as you know, my bedtime does not allow for me to stay for an entire game. And it turns out it's a really good thing that I didn't. This is a finish I really am glad I did not witness with my own eyes. And yet, the Brewers are still in first place. Details on that and Governor Evers' call for a special session on the way here on Up North News Radio from Madison on this Wednesday morning.
I got my ticket for the long way round, two bottle of whiskey for the way, and I sure would like some sweet company, and I'm leaving tomorrow, what do you say?
We will have today's history lesson and music break a little later on this hour, but we can go ahead and tease one of them, that Anna Kendrick is 38 years old today. Time for sports. The Colorado Rockies were trailing the Milwaukee Brewers 2-1. Before there were back-to-back home runs to start the seventh inning to put the Rockies up, and then the wheels fell off the bus from there. Though, again, as somebody who left after six innings, I'm a little happy that I did not witness that in the seventh. But it was tied, went to the 10th, and then pitchers Andrew Chafin and Abner Uribe could not find the plate with the game on the line, and the Rockies happily took advantage. Chafin and Uribe combined to allow three straight bases-loaded walks in the 10th inning, and the Brewers lost to the Rockies 7-3 on Tuesday night. I did hear it in the background on the radio on the drive back to Madison. I think I heard maybe the second one and said, okay, that's enough of that. And there was your final. Three straight bases loaded walks in the 10th inning. But the Brewers are still atop the Central by a game and a half over the Cubs and the Reds. The Cubs beat the Mets 3-2. The Reds lost to the Marlins 3-2 on Tuesday. Brewers starter Wade Miley, he did good work. He put in a quality start of six innings. Two strikeouts, gave up two hits, three walks, and only one run. They'll do it again this afternoon to wrap up the series before the Brewers begin a long road trip. So you can catch this afternoon's game on the Civic Media Radio Network if you're in the Fox Valley area by listening to Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 and 1100 AM and WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. All right, as usual, as we go through some of the headlines here, if you'd like to comment on them, you can certainly give us a call here at 844-967-2789 or text us through the Civic Media app or email us radio at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll start with a case of deja vu, basically, with Governor Tony Evers calling legislators into session. And we're going to talk more about this with Melissa Baldoff in just over 10 minutes as somebody who worked for the governor for a time. So I won't dwell a lot on it on the beginning, other than to say that the governor on Tuesday did call for a special session. basically to take up things that the legislature could have done during the state budget, decided not to do. They then sent a final budget bill to the governor. He vetoed some of the things that they put in the bill and said, basically, look, fellas, you didn't do some of the things that I wanted you to do. I vetoed some of the things that you wanted to do. Now that we've got that behind us, can we try again to get some of these things done? You want more of a tax cut? I'm willing to go along. I want childcare to be more affordable. Do you want to go along? And Republicans quickly said no. They don't have any interest in doing that. So even though the governor has made the call for September 20th, don't expect much for action, but do expect a lot of conversation between now and then, because while the legislature might not be meeting, while they'll probably gavel in and gavel out, that still means there's plenty of opportunity for you, especially if you're up north, say in a Republican district. There's plenty of opportunity for you to reach out to your state senator and your state assembly rep and ask simply, why? Why are you not proposing anything to even counter the governor when it comes to making childcare more affordable, to offer paid family leave, to not cut funding for the University of Wisconsin system when we're trying to be competitive with other Big Ten universities who otherwise will take advantage of that jobs pipeline that Republicans seem to want to gunk up for whatever reason? There's plenty of opportunity for voters to ask their assembly rep or their state senator. If you don't want these things, first off, why? Second, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for a family where, since the pandemic, one parent has had to stay home, drop out of the labor force during a labor shortage because daycare is unavailable? It's just too expensive, or there's just no options in the community where you live. Are you doing anything for that senator or representative? From a small business standpoint, they might ask their assembly rep or their state senator, why did you zero out the state commitment to expanding broadband internet in Wisconsin? The governor proposed $750 million. You cut it to zero. Now, you can say it's because there's federal money that's coming, but I don't recall anybody from the Republican side showing up last week when Vice President Kamala Harris came to Milwaukee and helped talk about, you know, the $1 billion that the Biden administration is bringing to Wisconsin. And I remember hearing Todd Albus talk about this yesterday on his show, that in a kinder, simpler time, Republicans would have come to meet the Vice President of the United States and say, you know, we disagree on a lot of things, but, you know, thank you for the $1 billion investment. That's going to be good for our small businesses, good for our farms, good for our schools and hospitals, not to mention our families. And you get nothing like that. So we're left again asking these legislative Republicans, what is your plan? Are you really going to stay on $0? Or are you going to take advantage of Governor Evers' invitation to come in and work out something that shows that you understand the problems that are faced, the opportunities that are out there? This is a chance for every educator and every parent to ask their Republican assembly rep and state senator, what are you going to do to fix the still quite inequitable school funding system? Yes, you did put some more money back into public schools. You also put a ton of money into voucher schools, which are designed, you know, to basically lead to putting public schools out of business. Would you at least say that on the record? Or are you prepared to say that you're now ready again with a budget surplus to better support and treat school districts fairly, no matter where a kid lives in Wisconsin? And by the way, surplus is the right word to say, because even though the state budget bill has been signed, after Governor Evers made his vetoes, there's still multiple billions of dollars available to use, to put to work. But Republicans showed us during the regular session what they wanted to do was essentially commit a heist and take about half of that surplus and apply it to tax cuts that were geared toward the already wealthy. They still want those tax cuts, even though Governor Evers vetoed those out. So the governor is again saying, hey, why don't we meet in the middle here again? Why don't we do a little bit more for tax cuts for the middle class? If Republicans gavel in and gavel out this special session in September, it's their way of saying that even though they talk about tax cuts, they talk a good game about tax cuts all the time, but they're not actually serious about doing it unless they can take care of just the millionaires and the billionaires in our state. There's some good news to pass along from the state of Ohio. We pointed out yesterday that there was a special election going on, and that special election, although, again, most people won't use the word, but the word is factual, that conservatives were attempting to rig an election yesterday. They were attempting to cheat because there's another election coming up in November in Ohio to amend the state constitution to make sure that women's abortion rights are protected. And conservatives, using backdoor tactics, set up a special election for August, thinking, turnout would be low and they could get, their folks to the polls easier. And what they were going to do is rig that constitutional election in November by moving the goalposts, by saying, well, instead of a simple majority to amend the Constitution the way it's always been, we're now going to require a supermajority, a 60% margin. And they were thinking that that would make it that much tougher for an abortion rights constitutional amendment to pass in November. Well, Ohioans did, in fact, see through that. Boy, did they see through that. More than 3 million people in Ohio showed up for an August Tuesday special election, and they turned back the attempt to rig Ohio's constitutional vote by a margin of 57 to 43. So by 14 points, Ohioans saw through the cheating and sent it down in flames. Now, keep in mind, many of these same people who voted down yesterday the attempt to change the rules, they'll still come back in November and they will vote, against women's abortion rights. This wasn't just about abortion to them. This was about democracy and the transparent sliminess of trying to change the rules in the middle of a game when you can't win on just the issue alone. And so again, congratulations to folks in Ohio who still have the courage of their convictions. They'll vote yes or no come November on abortion rights the way they see fit. But they did not turn this into necessarily a proxy on abortion. They made it the proxy on democracy and, frankly, on competent leadership that it is. And they said to the leadership in Ohio, the conservative leadership, this will not stand. You cannot do this. There's a new story in the New York Times this morning that talks about a newly discovered memo about the fake electors plot, and it involves Ken Cheesebro, again, one of the best names out there, especially for a Trump lawyer who was helping with the effort to, address the election in Wisconsin, in that there was a new memo from Kenneth Cheesebro outlining the ways that a fake electors scheme would basically work, where he acknowledged from the start that he was proposing a, quote, bold, controversial strategy, and acknowledged the Supreme Court, quote, likely would reject it in the end. But even if the plan did not ultimately pass muster at the highest level, the New York Times writes, Cheesebro argued it would achieve two goals. It would focus attention on claims of voter fraud, even though there wasn't any, and buy the Trump campaign more time to win litigation that would deprive Biden of electoral votes and or add to Trump's column. In other words, cheating. And again, you had Trump's latest lawyer, John Laurel, saying, well, these are minor technical constitutional violations. They're not really crimes. Yes, they are. Any attempt to delay the process of counting electoral votes that's intentional, that's not rooted in actual fraud, actual legal murkiness, That's cheating. That's a crime. And so there's this new memo that spells out that they knew this. They knew what they were doing was to basically try to bring about chaos and hopefully find a friendly judge or a friendly legislature that would go along with this scheme. Democracy hung in the balance by a much more fragile thread sometimes than we want to acknowledge. All right, coming back after this, Melissa Baldoff with this week's climate check and more about Governor Evers' call for a special session. We'll be back. You're up north.
You're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
It's electric!
Okay, here's what's next on this Wednesday morning. Normally, when we talk to Melissa Baldoff, it's more about our weekly climate check, and we're still going to do that. There are some important climate issues to talk about, but she is a Democratic strategist. She's an analyst for us. She has worked for Governor Tony Evers in the past, and so given what we just talked about with the governor calling another special session of the legislature, it seems like a good time for her to start with a little analysis for us before we get into climate matters. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning.
So we know that, you know, your old boss has had run-ins with the legislature where he has called them into special session on many different important issues. And I think just with the exception of kind of a farm crisis situation a couple of years back, every other call for a special session has been essentially ignored. They've gaveled in, they've gaveled out, they've taken virtually no action on all of these important issues. So one has to ask, we know what Republicans put in the state budget. We know what they chose not to put in the state budget. What's the governor thinking, saying to the Republican legislature, I'd like you to come back and try again on these important issues around the workforce and families?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what it is. He's giving them a chance to try again. And, you know, they're not going to take it, most likely. That's been the track record. But, you know, when I worked for him, and I know since, you know, his mindset is just because they aren't going to do their job doesn't mean he's not going to do his. And his job is to do everything he can and use every tool at his disposal, including the tool of calling them into a special session to address these important issues. And, you know, when you think about the fact that we have these really generational challenges addressing, you know, that are facing our workforce, you know, the childcare crisis. I'm sure so many people who are listening can relate, you know, childcare costs, you know, are more than rent or a mortgage, generally speaking. I know it was for me when my kids were little. And it's not just the affordability, it's the, you know, availability of care. So that's an incredibly important issue for working parents and for employers. You know, if people don't have reliable childcare, that's one of the, you know, most significant factors in being able to show up to work. You know, if you don't have a reliable, safe place for your kids, you're not going to be able to go into work. So that's an issue for employers as well as workers. So I think that I really appreciate that Governor Evers is doing everything he can to try to get the legislature to step up and do their jobs. And, you know, I always find it interesting, the, you know, kind of dissonance that you've got Republicans out there all the time. Just in the past week, I believe, sending a bill to the governor to try to make it harder for people to get unemployment insurance when they're out of work, and like the dissonance of people who don't want to do their own jobs trying to make it harder for people who are out of work to you know, kind of stay on their feet and get back to their lives, you know. So it's like, hey, you know, don't worry about what other people are doing. Why don't you worry about doing your own jobs? And, you know, we see consistently that they don't want to do that. They would rather take the approach of let's prevent Governor Evers from getting a win or a perceived win instead of helping the people of the state. And it's a real shame.
And it is, while it is noble
that a governor would want to do these things to work on these big problems. If we could look at the other side of the coin for a moment, the part that's a less noble and more politics, it does, it seems to me, the governor is giving Wisconsin voters, Wisconsin families, Wisconsin business owners, he's giving them another chance to look at Republicans and ask them, what exactly are you guys for? What are you willing to do about these big issues? Because I still haven't seen much in terms of actual policy by Republicans to address these things that doesn't include the words tax cut.
I would say a little addendum to that, tax cut for the rich, because they are less concerned with tax relief for working folks and, you know, for our senior citizens. You know, we've seen them time and time again, you know, take the approach of let's target the tax relief to the people who need it the least. So, yeah, I do think it's a great point that it's giving the voters another chance and it's keeping these issues in, you know, in the conversation. And yeah, I would definitely hope that voters are thinking, you know, about their Republican legislators, you know, like, what is it you'd say you do here? Because I don't see them doing a whole lot.
The old Office Space. So, yes.
Right.
All right. Well, let's move along, because I can already hear in the background this Joe Zepecki fella going, wait a minute, is she gunning for my job? I'm supposed to be talking about this stuff. So we'll talk to Joe later about that, and we'll get off of this. We'll go back to the climate issues that you specialize in these days, especially given when you talk about dissonance and the disconnect that people have. It's not just certain politicians to issues. It's sometimes people to issues. And what we're really talking about here is the challenge of the Biden administration to help voters connect the dots from things like the economy, where you're going to hear the word Bidenomics a lot, but also to the climate and the jobs and the economic opportunity that can be out there, all because of the Inflation Reduction Act. But it appears, Melissa, looking at recent headlines, that a lot of the public is still not connecting the dots between what the Inflation Reduction Act is, what it's going to do, and how it's going to benefit them. That's a fair way to describe the challenge, right?
Yeah, I do think it is. And I think, too, it's, you know, this is something we have seen before, you know, kind of that dissonance. You think about in the earlier days of the Affordable Care Act, and there were people who had kind of a negative or, you know, less than rosy opinion of the Affordable Care Act, you know, Obamacare. But when you broke down the provisions, they loved every provision, right? It's everybody wants to, you know, be able to keep their kids on their health insurance, you know, thanks to Senator Baldwin, who fought for that provision, and, you know, wants to keep their healthcare costs down and all of those wonderful things. But, you know, there was a little bit of dissonance between, I would say, the branding and what, how the opponents are talking about it, really kind of muddies the water, which is the point. And I think that that is something that remains a challenge for Democrats. And it's one that I know that we will meet and we will continue to be able to message on these issues. But it does take some time to really have some of these big things. And I say that, I mean, we're talking about generational investments in our economy, in our future, really. So it does take some time, I think, for some of these pieces to sink in, especially when you've got the other side, you know, attacking what's being done. And they don't want to see it succeed. So it's a challenge. And I do think that we're going to, and I hope we will see President Biden, his administration, and Democrats across the country really wrapping their arms around the Inflation Reduction Act and embracing this owning it, because this is something that is, you know, we can't afford to not implement this as well as possible. And like you said, those provisions, when you actually look into what is the IRA doing, people are like, hey, this sounds good. They support these provisions, you know, about tax credits to install solar panels and to buy heat pumps, and, you know, but then when you look at how do they feel about the Inflation Reduction Act, it's not as good. So there's some education that's needed. And I think that you're going to have folks like me and Joe who like to talk, and Joe and I will sidebar and say Joe and I saw the Barbie movie recently, which was amazing for anyone who hasn't seen it. Okay. And, you know, he said, you know, we decided his job as Ken, his Ken job is words. So I hope that a lot of people will be doing their job of words to tell people more about the Inflation Reduction Act and how important a policy it is for people in Wisconsin and around the country.
I just words. Yes. The Inflation Reduction Act is $400 billion to, in the words of the Washington Post here, to spur clean energy manufacturing, penalize the worst polluters, and help Americans afford greener technology, including energy efficient appliances and electric vehicles. And it's not like the Biden administration hasn't done anything about this. There have been well over 100 stops in communities, several in Wisconsin, by members of the administration, including the president, 120 stops in nearly 40 states. But there is a lot of work to do to overcome the polling that has people saying they don't think the president is doing enough about it. I wonder, to a degree, is this about, and it's hinted at in the article here, that the president is rightly talking up the tax credits to, you know, get these energy efficient appliances, to upgrade your homes and things like that. And, you know, there's a quote from somebody saying, you know, tax credits aren't enough to clean things up. Yeah, but that's the pocketbook issue that you would think a president would want to talk about to connect with Americans. But apparently Americans do have an appetite to hear more about how the Inflation Reduction Act isn't just a good tax credit, not just a good money thing, but is a very good thing for planet Earth.
Yeah, and I think that is something, you know, you look at the what's been happening in recent weeks and months all around the country, and people, I think, more than ever are actually feeling the effects of climate change. And I think they are ready to hear about the solutions more than ever. And I think that is really an opportunity here. And that, you know, we talked a little bit about this Washington Post article, and, you know, I would say one piece that really stuck out to me is a young woman who works as a delivery worker in Ohio, talking about how difficult it is to do her job lately. That she says, in recent days, the high humidity has meant the temperatures feel like they are over 100 degrees, leaving her sweltering in a highly physical job. And I know that there are a lot of folks in Wisconsin and all over the country who can relate to that. And that's something I think we need to be capitalizing on as well, is this is a time where people are quite literally feeling the effects of climate change, and they want to know what's going to be done about it. And those kind of bigger picture solutions, yes, like you said, the tax credits are great. Those are important because we want people to be invested and know that this is going to impact their bottom line too, because it will, and that's great. But I think it's also so important for them to know, you know, what is the cost of doing nothing, and how are we going to address these issues for the better, you know, to leave our, you know, to leave the earth in a better place for our kids.
That's right.
To be able to leave it to our kids and grandkids.
And if it's not enough about just what the current weather is like and what it's like to live and work in these temperatures, we don't even have time to get into another article about how the climate wrecking ball is already striking our food supply as crop yields go down, as crops fail. That's going to put more pressure on the food supply chain. It's going to raise prices. So yes, the cost of doing nothing is insane. And we do need to take these steps and let people know about the actions that are in fact on the way. They have been passed. They are getting done by the Biden administration by and large. Melissa Baldoff, thanks for all of the background on this week's Climate Check. Talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. And we'll go from one Melissa to another. Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, will join us for today's edition of our history lesson and music break, and so much more coming up in just a bit. Hey, wherever you are across Wisconsin, listening on the Civic Media Radio Network, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back. That, of course, is Sly and the Family Stone with their hit from this day in 1969. It was released, and you saw that lyric there starting with county fairs, and something awfully similar to that is going to be happening right near our friend Melissa Kay from locally grown radio WFHR, who's with us as she is most Wednesdays. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
You are getting ready, getting excited for your own fair. You know, I had the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls. You've got the Central Wisconsin State Fair coming up before too much longer.
That's right. A little under 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be broadcasting from there, or are you just...
I think we'll just have a presence there. I know we're going to have a booth and a table with recordings, so we want people to stop down and give us their thoughts. Tell us what they think.
I was going to say, you're going to call it the truth booth, the way that...
I think that's what they're doing.
Chad Holmes did up at Wisconsin Valley Fair up in Wausau. I liked that idea, the truth booth, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. I was looking at the entertainment here, the Dweebs, who are just kind of now, at this point, they border on legendary band. You know, they're just everywhere across the Midwest. We'll be on the 22nd, 38 Special on the 23rd, Hairball on the 24th. They were in Chippewa for the fair there. Scott McCreary on the 25th. And, you know, it's a great facility, great grounds with that big old round barn in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what else, what are your favorites? Are you looking forward to a particular food or a particular event?
Oh yeah, fair food is the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get so many options of deep fried things. Mm-hmm. Like, I have not tried a deep fried pickle yet.
Oh,
they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think you would like that. Yes.
Also, if I may make a request, have an extra couple of those mini donuts for me. The ones where they just shoot out on the conveyor belt.
Oh yeah.
Yep, I have to get those.
Oh yeah.
Because when they're hot and fresh and tossed
so
in
good.
The sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and euros.
This segment has everything. It's got fair food. It's got music. It's got disco from the Bee Gees. The number one hit this day in 1975 was from the Brothers Gibb. Admit it. You're tapping your toe.
Well, yeah. This doesn't sound like disco. Oh, wait, there it is.
That might be the first time that's ever been said. I'm glad you waited, till we got off the top of the ramp there for that. Number one song this day, 1975. So while that plays in the background, we'll tell you it was on this day. In 1944, the U.S. Forest Service and the Wartime Advertising Council released posters featuring Smokey Bear for the first time. So this day, 1944. Previously, the U.S. Forest Service had been licensed to use one of Disney's new characters, the characters from the movie Bambi. Weird to think that Bambi goes back that far to, 1942, Aaron, you were looking up?
Yeah, I saw this on the note, and I'm like, 1944, they switched out Bambi. When the heck did that movie come out? It's easy to forget how old it is.
Well, yeah, none of us were around back then. And fighting wildfires was actually another thing I learned putting this together. It was a big priority because there was concern that... mostly Japanese, but perhaps German subs could, lob bombs into wooded areas and start wildfires. And that actually did happen in one instance. So there was a lot more of an effort put in to fight forest fires and wildfires, and that's why Smokey Bear showed up this day in 1944.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
God, that's a dead ringer impression, Melissa. That's fabulous. On this day in 1173, again, we weren't around then, but construction began on the campanile of the Cathedral of Pisa, now known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The leaning was discovered 2 years in, but construction would go on for the next couple hundred years because, you know, never let a foundational issue get in the way of what you really want to do anyway, right? In other words, right. The Leaning Tower might be the symbol for today's Republican Party. Ba-dum-bum. Anyway, on this day in 1974, I do remember this. Richard Nixon became the first president to resign from office. Vice President Gerald Ford became president. I had just turned 10 years old. And I remember at the time, it was a big deal. Even as a 10-year-old, you knew there was something very important going on here. And now everybody's talking about whether Ford did the right thing, pardoning Nixon. You know, how would things be different with the Trump charges if Nixon actually had to face legal accountability for what he'd done?
If we had some precedent set.
Yes, yeah. Who knew we'd still be talking about Watergate?
Nobody's above the law. Nobody.
Exactly. This is the anniversary of the birth of the late Billy Henderson of the Spinners, who gave some of my favorite tunes.
Whenever you call me, I'll be there. Whenever you want me, I'll be there. Whenever you need me.
Billy Henderson passed away in 2007. Birthdays today. Actor Sam Elliott is 79. Tell me Sam Elliott doesn't have one of your favorite voices. Just that classic cowboy voice where it's like, oh, you're a special kind of stupid, aren't you? Or something.
Yes.
Love that voice. Actor Dan Levy is 40 years old from Schitt's Creek. We already mentioned.
Really?
Yes, 40. Would you have guessed?
No.
Anna Kendrick, 38. We mentioned her earlier. Again, that's, you know, some people just, you feel like you're always going to picture them in their 20s, but it turns out time's relentless that way. And this would have been Whitney Houston's 60th birthday. She was born this day in 1963, passed away in 2012. On this day in 2005, Nickelback released Photograph, the first single from their album, All the Right Reasons.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
And no surprise, it was inspired by a drunken snapshot. The song is about Chad Kroeger's memories of growing up in a small town in Alberta.
You know, now I wish that I replaced that with one of the meme versions of it, where they're like, look at this graph. And it's a video, and it's just a picture of a super complicated graph. And then it just moves to the part of the video where he's just smiling.
I just like when you occasionally let me know that there's these alternative versions out there. So, yes, I'll be checking out YouTube as well. And our apologies to station management, because I'm pretty sure we lost half our listeners as soon as we played any Nickelback. But we'll try to earn them.
Oh, come on. They have a huge following.
Yes, they do. What all is happening at locally grown radio these days, Melissa?
You know, I got to talk about our pet of the week that we do every Thursday.
Okay.
Because this last Thursday, our very own James Maloff fell victim to the pet of the week and adopted the bunny.
Fell he victim
now,
to.
Yes. Now he is a rabbit owner. He took Squash home with him. He couldn't help it.
Squash?
Our rabbit was so cute. Yep. Now he's Peter Squash.
Aw.
You know, in tribute to Peter Tosh, because they're both music fans. I don't know.
Okay. I would not have connected those dots. Though it does.
It's also one of my biggest celebrity in my life birthday today, my older brother.
Aw.
Happy birthday, Chris.
And that's really the extent. That's the only gift he's getting from you, right? Is a shout out on the radio.
That's it.
Hey, you've done your part.
More than some people get.
That's right. Melissa, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You can catch Melissa and all the gang at locally grown radio, WFHR, in the Wisconsin Rapids area, or through the Civic Media app and website as well. All right, we'll take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk in the next hour about fair maps with folks from Law Forward. That's ahead here on a Wednesday. You're up north.